This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Yes, our hospitals are understaffed, and yes, our unemployment rate is 8%, but each year the U.S. issues 20,000 health care visas to immigrant workers. As we speak, about 78 million baby boomers are approaching their 60s. They're going to need more care. So is it wise to continue to get health care employees from other countries? Joining us to talk about the impact of insourcing health care is Dr. Kate Talenko. Kate Talenko is a physician, senior director of health systems innovation at IntraHealth International, and the author of Insourced, How Importing Jobs Impacts the Healthcare Crisis Here and Abroad. Welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here with you and your listeners.
What got you interested in insourcing?
Well, I'm in an unusual position in that I do global health and I'm also a practicing physician in the U.S. And so I got to see both sides of the story. You know, I would go to Latin America, Asia, and Africa, and I would see health systems that were collapsing because of lack of health professionals. And then I would practice pediatrics in the U.S., often doing locums or temporary positions in rural areas, but often sometimes in more metropolitan areas. And I would have to go down to the emergency room and tell them that the pediatrics floor was closed because we didn't have enough nurses and that any critically ill children would need to be driven or flown an hour or two away to the first open bed. And I realized that the solutions that we had weren't working for anyone. They were damaging health in the U.S. and they were damaging health in the rest of the world.
Well, give us a sense of the scope of insourcing. Who is here and what percentage of the workforce do they make up from other countries?
Yes, about 25% of physicians are foreign-born and foreign-trained, and about 12% of other healthcare workers. That includes nurses, pharmacists, physical therapists, occupational therapists, and other high-level health workers. And as far as what is going on in other countries, the World Health Organization currently cites 57 countries that are health workforce crisis countries. These are countries that aren't able to meet basic healthcare needs, including vaccinating children and making sure every woman has a professional helping her at the time of her delivery.
So a big part of this is that we are training, or medical professionals are being trained in other countries and then coming here to practice. So they're leaving their homelands, coming here, and those places are left understaffed, a kind of a brain drain.
Yes. In fact, a study was done recently that showed that the largest cause of loss of African medical school professors wasn't retirement, it wasn't death, it was immigration, and that the U.S. was the number one destination country. So not only are we, you know, taking their best and brightest, but we're making it very difficult for them to replace them with additional healthcare workers.
Now, you also talked about the impact here. What difference does it make to us that we're getting practitioners from other countries?
Well, you know, it's important for your listeners to know that this issue is important on several different levels. It's a jobs issue, it's a quality of healthcare issue, and it's actually an American security and image issue. On the jobs front, during the Great Recession, while all other sectors lost jobs, the healthcare industry actually added tens of thousands of jobs. And if U.S. Citizens aren't able to access these jobs because we aren't able to train them, then they miss out. In fact, every foreign-trained healthcare worker you see represents an American that didn't get to realize his or her dream of being a healthcare worker. These are some of the most socially rewarding and financially rewarding careers in our society. And what you see is the very communities in America that have that don't have enough healthcare workers are where you see high rates of unemployment, particularly among young people. So part of what we need to do is recruit young people from these underserved communities and train them to be healthcare workers. It's also a quality of care issue. The foreign-trained healthcare workers almost always score lower on the standardized tests, the standardized qualifying tests for healthcare workers. So they're not trained as well as American healthcare workers. Also, you need to remember, many of them weren't trained in English, and they're coming from countries and cultures where domestic violence is not a crime, where homosexuality is a capital offense, and where women have little decision power over, you know, their lives and their health, and where very premature children aren't even given care. So are these the type of people that you want taking care of you and your loved ones? Plus, especially for physicians, there's no longer a standardized test of their foreign language skills. They used to have to take TOEFL, the test of English as a foreign language. Now they no longer have to. So for me, this is a concern about, you know, how well they'll be able to communicate with people over death and dying, mental illness, and other very important conversations that physicians and other healthcare workers have with their patients.
I have to say, this part of the critique sounds discriminatory to me, as though people from other countries can't be as good a medical practitioner as those who are trained in America.
No, it's part of what you have to realize is the disease and conditions that you see in other countries are completely different from what you see in the U.S. As a practicing pediatrician, when I go into a hospital overseas, I don't recognize the equipment. I don't even recognize the drugs. You know, standard hospitalization for a child in Africa would be for tuberculosis, HIV/AIDS, severe diarrhea, you know, a vaccine-preventable disease such as measles or polio, which I've never seen in the U.S. And so when you've been trained in that environment to then come to the U.S. with no orientation, there's no required orientation, that there's no way the standard of care can be the same.
Now, I'm assuming the reason for the insourcing is that it costs less.
Exactly. Basically, part of what has happened is in our pursuit of quality education, we've started to outprice ourselves out of training Americans to be healthcare workers. As you know, tertiary education has gone up faster than inflation for the past 20 years. And the cost, and I mean the true cost, not just tuition, but the true total cost of training health professionals has gone up faster still. And going back to the cost of tertiary education, you probably know that the total educational debt in the U.S. is greater than the total credit card debt. And it's become a huge problem. And part of what we need to do is use American ingenuity to find out how we can train Americans to be health workers more cost effectively.
Well, because you don't want to reduce the training. That gets you back to the problem that you have with insourcing, that the training isn't adequate. And what about in lesser served communities, in low income communities? What's the impact there? Is it any different than it is, or is it different from one place to another within the United States?
Well, the health impact and the economic impact is much worse in rural, minority, and lower socioeconomic communities. There are about 62 million people in the U.S. living in health professional shortage areas. And in fact, there are 192 in North Carolina. And these people have much reduced access to health. And it's well documented that they have higher infant mortality rates. They have lower life expectancy rates, higher rates of very easily controlled diseases such as high blood pressure and hypertension. And these, as I mentioned, are also the communities you see high levels of unemployment.
So how does Obamacare have an impact on this? Does it? Will it have an impact on insourcing?
Well, it probably in the short run will worsen insourcing, because when 32 million uninsured Americans will gain access to health insurance, they will start visiting, you know, physicians, visiting, you know, nurse practitioners. And so that will drive up demand. We also need to remember these people are sicker than the currently insured Americans, because they tend to be poorer and many of them can't get insurance because they are sick. They're in the Affordable Care Act. There is some legislation incentivizing American health workers to go into primary care rather than tertiary or subspecialty care. But that does not help expand the number of Americans we train to be healthcare workers. And we need something more on that.
Well, so what are the solutions? We certainly don't want to push up the cost of healthcare. We don't want to make it difficult for people who have been trained somewhere else to enjoy the benefits of living in the United States. And then again, we don't want to compromise our healthcare. What do you see as the solution?
You know, there are lots of good solutions. Community colleges train 60% of the nurses in the U.S., and they're very powerful way to cost-effectively train healthcare workers. In fact, most healthcare workers don't need higher-level degrees. And a nice thing about nursing is the degrees are stackable. You can start with associate degrees, go up to a bachelor's, and eventually up to a doctorate. So I would recommend that your listeners reach out to their local community colleges and see how they can help them start or expand their health professional programs. Also, we need to align state and federal government budgets with our jobs needs and our health needs. Most healthcare workers are trained with significant state and federal subsidies. And one thing I'm seeing in South Carolina that's very exciting is the state is saying that they're going to look at what degrees have the highest employment rates and put more money in those. They're also going to talk to employers in the state, find out what type of workers they need, you know, whether health workers or manufacturing workers, and invest more in those programs. And I think that's what we need to do. Also, we need to do more innovative work in how to get education to be more cost effective, whether it's via e-learning or in actually nursing education. One thing that would be helpful is for them to reach out to the clinical nurses in the field. There's a shortage of nursing professors, but one of the reasons for that is they tend not to use the master nurse clinicians in the community, whereas physicians and other health professions tend to use those workers to help educate new health workers.
These are all training, and I've only got about 30 seconds left, but what about immigration? Would we have to limit that as well?
I would like to see if we immediately could stop recruiting from the 20 worst affected health worker crisis countries, and then with a goal by 2020 of reducing recruitment from them all.
And what would that mean in those cases? Is there a way that they could remain in their country and still live a sustainable life as healthcare workers?
Well, you know, one thing your listeners need to know is that in every country where we've looked at, healthcare workers are in the top quintile, the top fifth of all wage earners. These are countries where the majority of people live on less than $1 a day. So healthcare workers live very well in their countries.
Kate Talenko, thank you so very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Dr. Kate Talenko is a physician and senior director of health systems innovation at IntraHealth International and the author of Insourced, How Importing Jobs Impacts the Healthcare Crisis. Here in DeBridge, she's going to host a discussion and book signing at Durham Technical Community College tonight, 6 to 8. For more information, durhamtech.edu. Just ahead, Bill McKibben on how to save the world on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.